Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You're in fine voice this morning. Have you all had your ready break or your Weetabix or whatever? I hope you have all had breakfast this morning. That's the only clue I'm going to give you as to what we're talking about this morning. Let's pray. We praise you, O God, for the meaning that you give to our lives in and through Jesus. He is the sign of your deep and everlasting love for the world, and we rejoice in his promise to sustain us with his life. We praise you for filling our emptiness with his goodness. May our worship and praise express our thanks, O God, for your gift to us of the true bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, your Son, our living Lord. Amen. Let's continue in praise as we sing number 564, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the words of that hymn of praise and thankfulness. Praise to the Lord. Let all that have breath praise the Lord, and that we would adore you for all that you are to each one of us. We thank you that we can come to your house of prayer, your house of praise, your house of peace. Oh Lord, how we need your peace in our lives, in our town, in our country, in our world. Lord, we thank you for the truths of your word, for the promises contained within them for each and every one of us that are all yes in Jesus. We thank you and praise you that you are all we need. That, Lord, that you love each one of us just as we are. That you listen to each and every one of us no matter what we're going through. And that we have the assurance, Lord, that you are there with us in the midst of everything. Lord, we love to come and to bring our worship to you. We come, Lord, because you deserve it. You are worthy. We want you to have all glory and honor. Lord, we know that there are times when we feel weary, when we feel empty, when we feel confused, perhaps overwhelmed by perhaps what's going on in our lives or what we see going on in the world. That rather than turning to prayer, Lord, that our hearts turn to despair. That we don't look up, Lord, that we look down, or we look around, seeking the answers from the world and not from you, Lord, who is above the world. Lord, you ask us to live in the world, but not to be of the world. And that seems a big ask, Lord, with all that is going on around. And yet, Lord, you showed us how to do that. So, Lord, help us to remember what you did. That in all things you gave thanks to our Heavenly Father. You spent time alone in prayer, seeking your Father's word in all that you would do. Lord, help us to be the same. Show us again your way. Help us to be followers of the way. That, Lord, as your family here, that we would gather together in unity. That we would be your body, not just in these four walls, Lord, but out in the community, Lord, where you would send us. Lord, we praise you for your deep and everlasting love for your world. And we thank you, Lord, that you can show us how to love one another. So, Lord, as we come again to worship, bless this time. Show us your way, Lord. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we come to our reading this morning, we again join Jesus, who is being pursued by the crowds, the ever-growing crowds that are looking for Jesus as a result of the various miracles that they are seeing performed. And particularly after Philip, his disciple, shows little faith, Jesus has just fed more than 5,000 people with a tiny portion of bread and fish. The crowd's actual desire is for another superficial or supernatural display and more free food. Because who doesn't want to turn up when there's free food going on, eh? Unlucky this morning. In this passage, Christ begins to explain the true meaning behind his miracle and his ministry. This includes the first of the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. So he's giving you all these clues. But it also includes a history lesson for the people, reminding the Jews that they were to eat unleavened bread during the Passover feast, and then for 7 days, following as a celebration of the Exodus from Egypt. And finally, the Jews, when they were wandering in the desert for those 40 years, God rained down bread from heaven to sustain the nation. Have you got all the clues that I've been dropping in there? All of this plays into the scene which is described in our reading this morning, of which Marjorie will reveal to you. Thanks, Marjorie.
The reading is to be found on page 1070 of the Pew Bibles. John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen.
So as we've just heard from that reading, Jesus takes this moment to teach them a lesson. He accuses the crowd of ignoring his miraculous signs and only following him for the free food. As we see in verse 27, he tells them, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." In other words, they were so fascinated with the food that they were missing out on the fact that the Messiah has come. And we'll think about that a little more in a moment. But first, we'll sing number 251. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again that we can come and praise you, that you are everything that we need for life. Open our hearts now, Lord, to receive your word to each one of us. Speak, Lord, thy servant is listening. Amen. As I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about bread for all and bread for life. For those of us that enjoy bread a lot, it's nothing, is there, like the smell of freshly baked bread. Even as I'm talking about bread now, can you smell it? That's why I said, I hope you've had breakfast this morning, because I am really going to talk a lot about bread. Sheep last few weeks ago, bread this morning. My first job as I was at college the first time was in the bakery. I was first in with the manager in some ungodly hour of the morning to receive the bread in, to put it up on the shelves ready for the customers that would start coming in at 8 o'clock. So you can imagine what time I was up. See, I can do it. But the, you know, the smell of that bread as it came off the, I'm drooling now thinking about it, as we placed it on display. And I still kind of get that feeling when my bread machine kicks out a loaf every now and again, because just as it's getting to that perfect point, suddenly the aroma in the house starts to be taken over by bread. And they do say that, don't they? If you want to sell your house, either bake bread or make coffee. And if you really want to sell it, do both. Do you all have a favourite loaf? Is there one that you go for? Or is it just what comes? Seeded, bloomer, tiger. I like a bit of tiger. There are so many different loaves, isn't there? There's like, you know, there's one that was salt and pepper crust, which is lovely, not so much for breakfast, but when I was in the bakers, I had to know all the names, and thankfully there wasn't as many then as there is now. But it's nice, isn't it, to think about it. And I'm really sorry, because you're going to have to listen to me preach now while you think about your bread and your lunch. I was thinking, actually, during lockdown, do you remember when everybody was making stuff? We'd never heard of sourdough, had we, before lockdown, or barely. And then suddenly everyone's calling their sourdough starter, giving it a name. Did anybody do that? You're not going to admit it, are you, even if you did? I think it was the actor, wasn't it, Tom Hardy, that started it. You have a starter, and then once you've got your starter, you can just keep having sourdough bread for the rest of your lives. But as I've said before, bread is considered a staple food. It's a basic dietary item in so many parts of the world. We've talked before about how long a person can survive on only bread and water. Now, I wouldn't want that to be my only thing, but it's nice to know that, you know, if I'm left with bread and water, there's a chance of life for some time. Bread is such a basic food that it's become synonymous for food in general. We even use phrase, don't we, when we're sharing a meal together, that we're breaking bread. I've usually said, do you want to come around for dinner? But, you know, some people say, let's break bread together, which I think is a really nice way to make people feel like they're part of something more. Bread, as we know, plays an integral part of the Jewish Passover meal. Bible tells us that the Jews were to eat unleavened bread during the Passover feast, and then for 7 days following as a celebration of the exodus from Egypt. And then finally, when they were wandering in the desert for 40 years, God rained down bread from heaven to sustain the nation. And we read all about that in Exodus 16 for those who want to read the background later. So much today is focused about food, isn't it? You know, I find myself sometimes, worse probably when during my quiet time, thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch, what I'm going to have for dinner. Opening in the fridge full of food and thinking, no, I don't fancy that. It's really bad, isn't it? Do you do that sometimes? Yeah. We have to make sure, don't we, that we receive certain food to, you know, for the health benefits, for helping us to grow stronger and to live longer. It's obviously working here, isn't it? Hey, look at you all. I'll ask you what your diets are later. There's so many chefs on TV, isn't there? You know, this week we had Jamie Oliver and Tom Kerridge and others. Programs like MasterChef and Great British Bake Off and all those other cooking programs. Do you not watch them, Marcus? Got a look of absolute disgust on your face. You know, and if you've got network TV, you've got entire television channels that you can watch all about food. Hey, you never need to be bored again, do you? There's publications, there's websites, there's food festivals. Who's been to a food festival? Yeah. We like a bit of food, don't we? Instructing people how to buy it, how to prepare it, how to serve it, even how to eat it. Now, I'm sorry, but, you know, my parents did a good job at teaching me how to eat food at a very early age. And there are conflicting arguments over which foods to eat and which foods to refrain from. Yeah, everything we like, don't eat. Anything that a rabbit eats, we eat. I don't think so. But also, those discussions were happening in the Bible between believers over which foods were acceptable to eat. Even the passage that we'll read later as we share around the Lord's table, there'd been a very heated discussion about food just before, which is why Paul reminds them what the Lord said. We live as hungry people in a hungry world. Everyone is looking for something that will sustain and nourish life. Something that will feed and energize, that will fill and satisfy. Everyone is looking for bread. The problem is not that we're hungry, but the kind of bread that we will eat. The world is full of bread, and yet far too many live hungry, empty, and searching. That says something about our appetites and the bread that we have eaten. It's a sign, and a sure sign, that the bread that we have eaten cannot give real life. It's perishable bread that only nourishes a perishable life. It leaves us wanting only more of the same. Not all bread sustains and grows life. Not all of it is nutritious. If we want to know the true nutritional value of the bread, we have to look beyond the bread. Where did it come from? What are the ingredients? Yet no matter how much care we take into putting food into our mouths, Jesus said not to put our focus on earthly food as our source of life. That's what Jesus is teaching in today's reading. The people have arrived hungry. We've read just before that, the day before, if we look at the way the reading's structured, that Jesus fed 5,000 men and their families with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And today they turn up, and the first question they ask in verse 25, Rabbi, when did you come here? They're not amazed at yesterday's miracle, nor do they give thanks for God's generosity, or even wonder who this rabbi is. Are they only worried about the next meal? Or that Jesus started without them and they're too late, they've missed their breakfast? They saw no sign. That's John's word for miracles in yesterday's feeding. They saw nothing more than bread and fish. They either refused or were unable to see beyond the bread and the fish. They're only interested in themselves, and that's what Jesus knows. Jesus knows our hearts. He says to them in verse 26, and I always say, if something's repeated, it's important. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. The People are concerned for their stomachs. They want to feed themselves with bread. Jesus, however, is concerned for their lives. He wants them to feed with him on God. Verse 27, do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. In other words, they were so engrossed with the food, they were missing out, as I said, that the Messiah had come. And so the Jews asked Jesus for a sign that he was sent from God in verse 30. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have thought that 5,000 plus people feeding on those loaves and fishes would have been a big enough sign for me. Yeah? If I was to sit here and open up my sliced loaf and a tin of mackerel and feed you lot, you'd go, wow, wouldn't you? Yeah. And you'd have to feel. You wouldn't go home hungry. Yes, I read that and I've never really thought about it before. How were they so like, yeah, that was yesterday. But we're like that, aren't we? That was so yesterday. Today they want more. But they need feeding first. They tell Jesus that God gave them manna during the desert wandering. Jesus responds by telling them they need to ask for the true bread from heaven that gives life. When they ask Jesus for this bread, Jesus stuns them by saying, in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. What an extraordinary statement. Even if we just took that in its context, on its own. First, by equating himself with bread, Jesus is saying he is essential for life. Second, that life that Jesus is referring to is not physical life, but eternal life. Jesus is attempting to get the Jews thinking off of the physical realm and into the spiritual realm. He's contrasting what he brings as their Messiah with the bread that he miraculously created the day before. That was physical bread that perishes. He is spiritual bread that brings eternal life. Just like many health organizations endorse foods they believe are of a higher quality, Jesus encourages too, not to work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because he continues, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Referring back to the wilderness years, Jesus reminds them that it was not Moses who gave them bread from heaven, but their Father God who gives you the true bread from heaven. The psalmist describes and explains this. He says, he rained down manna for people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. Jesus reiterates in verse 33, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. This truth explains how Jesus is the bread of heaven, who will sustain so that we'll never go hungry. The food that endures is Jesus himself. He is the bread that is broken. We'll remember that again as we gather around our Lord's table. Broken and distributed for the life of the world. He is the bread that is broken, but yet never divided. He is the bread that is eaten, yet never exhausted. He is the bread that consecrates those who come, believe, and eat. And so this passage gives an invitation to come and believe. A message throughout John's gospel. Place your faith in Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. Coming to Jesus involves making a choice to disown the world and follow him. Believing in Jesus means placing our faith in him, that he is who he says he is, that he will do what he says he will do, and that he is the only one who can. Jesus says those who come to him will never hunger, and those who believe will never thirst. He's saying that he will satisfy our hunger and thirst to be made righteous in the sight of God. God created us, we're told in Ecclesiastes, with eternity in mind. The Bible tells us that God has placed eternity in our hearts. When we believe in Jesus by taking him into our lives, we live differently. We see one another and ourselves as people created in the image and likeness of God, rather than as obstacles or issues to overcome. We trust in the silence of prayer rather than the words of argument, something that the world really needs a lot of at this time. We choose love and forgiveness rather than anger and retribution. We relate with intimacy and vulnerability rather than triviality and being defensive. We listen for God's voice rather than our own. Ultimately, we seek life rather than death. I am the bread of life, Jesus tells the people. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He is offering the people himself. He is the imperishable bread that nourishes and sustains imperishable life. Jesus makes us the same offer. He offers himself to us in every one of our relationships. In every situation and each day of our life, we choose the bread we will eat, perishable or imperishable. In so doing, we also choose the life that we want. So there is bread for all, bread for life. What bread will we eat today? Amen. Let's pray for our world. Jesus, who is the bread of life, we would never be hungry, never be thirsty. This is the promise of God to whom we now pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be the bread of life for the world. Forgive us for elevating earthly appetites above devotion to you. Feed us with the knowledge of Christ so that we recognize our sin and gladly repent in his name. We pray for those whose daily need for healthy food, clean water, and proper shelter goes unmet. And for those misusing what they have in vain pursuit of pleasure. Feed them with all good things of Christ for life now and in eternity. Have mercy on those whose lives have been broken by violence and crime. We particularly think of the events in Southport this week. Feed them with hope and a new life in Christ. Bless our brothers and sisters persecuted for their faith, for those in captivity, for those who minister to them. Support them and help them. Feed those who are sick or sorrowing with healing and consolation through Christ. We pray that you would meet the needs of others that we know personally to be in want, for those that we hold in our hearts. Merciful Father, you heard the prayers of your people in the wilderness and fed them with bread from heaven despite their sin. Graciously hear us today and feed us too with the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, for he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. As we come to gather around your table, feed us now, child of God, as you fed your first disciples. Feed us with that soul food which nurtures enough love within us to outstrip the fears and enmity that ties the world up in knots. Feed us with that spiritual bread which strengthens our hands for serving those broken and lost people whom this world deems a waste of time. Feed us so that we may be fulfilled with some of that joy which the universe cannot contain. For your love's sake. Amen. So as we prepare our hearts to gather around our Lord's table, let's sing number 381, Jesus, Stand Among Us. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He continues, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. I don't know if any of you have ever read any of the daily readings by Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. He uses a phrase which I always remember, that God prepares us to serve him by making us broken bread and poured out wine. What a lovely phrase, that God makes us broken bread and poured out wine. And as we gather around our Lord's table, I want us to remember that as we take those elements later. He goes on to say, yet God can never make us into wine if we object to the fingers he chooses to use to crush us. It is God who chooses the people and circumstances to crush us, and it's up to us to let him. This crushing is the classroom in which God will prepare us to serve him. He says that when God has us on our knees, it is there that he can change us. That's why James writes, isn't it? He recognizes it. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Some says perseverance or endurance. I know what he means. We must first be broken, that we would form into us something new. And so we pray. As we gather at your table, Lord, we confess that we have failed to be the people that you intended us to be, that we have not lived the lives we ought to. Father, forgive. Too often we have tried to live on the wrong side of Easter, living with faithless doubt and uncertainty. Father, forgive. Show us again the empty grave, that we may know that Jesus is alive and that we may find new hope and life in him. And God's word tells us now, listen, this is the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to forgive each of us in our failures, to accept us just as we are, to set us free from evil's power, and to make us what we were meant to be. Listen to him. For through him, his Father says to all who come to him, as you have come to him, you are accepted. You are forgiven. I have set you free. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And so we use those words that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 11. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself on the night that he was betrayed. Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why we should examine ourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. We examine ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit. And then we come and we eat and we drink. Oswald Chambers went on to say right with God and let him do as he likes, and you will find that he is producing the kind of bread and wine that will benefit his other children. The closer that we get to God, the more we realize how he uses our suffering for his purposes. Let God use the classroom of our circumstances to teach us how to serve his children. The more that we want to serve him, the harder the lesson is going to be. And so we come to this table not because we must, but because we can. Come not to make a statement about how good we are, but rather as a testimony to our love of our Lord Jesus Christ and our desire to be his true disciple. We come now not because we're strong, but because we are weak. And now that the supper of the Lord is spread before us, we lift up our minds and our hearts above all faithless fears and cares. And let this broken bread and poured out wine be to us the witness and signs of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And at this table, we consecrate our lives afresh to the coming of God's kingdom and for the strength to act. Let's pray. We remember in broken bread and poured out wine the life and death of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Generous, merciful God, you invite us to the heavenly feast, promising to fill us with every good thing. Bless these ordinary gifts of bread and fruit of the vine, that we may be kneaded and pressed into one holy living body. In the name of Christ, who lived and died and rose again, and who meets us today around this, his table. Hallelujah. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Jesus freely gave his life for a broken world, that all who come to this table may be made whole again. As you receive the bread, please take it and eat it as a sign of your own individual response. The bread that we break is the bread of life, and that life is the hope of the world. The wine poured out represents Christ's blood shed for us, his life given that we may receive the new life of the kingdom. We retain the cup that we may drink together, one body in Christ. Thank cup we share is the cup of promise. We drink together the cup of the gospel, which is the good news for all who receive him. The blood of Christ given for you. Amen. Are you willing to be broken bread and poured out wine for the benefit of the kingdom? My prayer is that you would trust our Father in how he is preparing you for kingdom work. Chambers said, we are here to submit to his will so that he may work through us what he wants. Once we realize this, he will make us broken bread and poured out wine with which to feed and nourish others. So we pray for the bread that we have eaten, for the wine that we have tasted, for the life that you have given. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will praise you. For the life of Christ within us, turning all our fears to freedom, helping us to live for others. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will praise you. For the strength of Christ to lead us in our living and our dying, in the end with all your people. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will praise you into eternity. Amen. Thank you. And so we will continue to praise as we sing number 200. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Let's pray. Go into the world with all humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, in the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, and the name of Jesus, who is the bread of life. Amen. Please be seated. We had a great afternoon on Friday. If you want to see the fruits of our labours, it's up on the back. Please have a look. We did thankfulness, and you're invited this Friday as we look at forgiveness. And we still need some magazines. Please give them to Tricia. Thank you. Bless you. Have a great week.